Here we are back again, the last barbershop before the NFL season starts. This is the barbershop on playersvoice.com. I am your host, Mark Gray, in the building. TJ.
What's happening, people? What's happening?
Our resident NBA expert who knows absolutely nothing about football, DeMar Johnson.
What up, what up? I'm just here to do my predictions.
Just here to do your prediction. And of course, A1. What's up, A1? All right. Well, last week we gave you guys the NFC, so this week we'll give you the AFC, do the picks, win totals, team by team. Real quick before we get into that, a little bit of sports history is in the process. Last night, Serena.
Don't jinx it, man.
I know, right?
It's just talk about it. Don't jinx it.
Have you ever felt history being made that seems so in the bag before? I'm thinking like maybe the Triple Crown, but
you can't even say the Triple Crown because horse racing is so unpredictable.
This one just feels like it's already done, though, right?
I mean, maybe when the 85 Bears went to the Super Bowl or something like that.
Here we go.
I mean, you know, just have to throw that in. I'm just saying. The early Mike Tyson, Leon Spinks. I mean, that was pretty much in the bag.
In terms of somebody completing a feat that is a pretty grand feat, she's literally on, it seems like, essentially autopilot right now.
Dude, she wanted to get the slam within the physical year or calendar year. And she looks, barring injury, barring sickness, I don't think the next opponent, last night was the biggest hurdle. Just beating her sister with all the hoopla and the minutia behind it. I think that she's in the home stretch now. She's powered down. She's Usain in that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's Usain in that baby. That's what it feels like. Yeah, I couldn't think of that. And the fact is that the people, while Usain Bolt does have a ridiculous lead, those people are closer than the next tennis player is that you're watching right now. And you think about it, that was, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, they were discussing whether she'd ever walk again.
Yeah, man. Where she would even live. I mean,
they're talking about amputations of feet and stuff
like that. A blood clot in your lungs is not a game, man. That is a serious, serious thing. People die from pulmonary embolism all the time, so.
And does it feel like, I'll throw this to you, DJ, because you're more of a casual. I wouldn't say that any of us claim to be a tennis fan, but do you feel like for what Serena is doing, Serena's getting the publicity, the pub, the love, the credit that she deserves?
I mean, I feel like that's all we hear about tennis-wise. I mean, especially this year.
Tennis-wise, yes. Yeah. But don't you think? Yes, the tennis conversation pretty much begins and ends with Serena. Correct, I agree. Right. But don't you feel like it should spill over more? I mean, again, like for example, the same Bolt. He's all we know about track and field. But you hear about him more than just track and field. You know what I mean? And I feel like Serena. To me, it seems like we don't hear about her enough.
I feel like I hear about Serena more than Bolt.
Right. Well, she competes a lot. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, I don't think they slight her. I mean, I think they talk about her pretty much every day, just about.
I mean, I'll just chime in real quick, is that I think what DJ's saying is he hears her name a lot, and you do. You hear it off the court, you hear it on the court, but you probably don't hear the things that you would like to hear really associated with her name, because you hear about her fashion, you hear about her, private life, then you hear about what she does on the tennis court, but you don't really hear about her as being, the Michael Jordan of her game or whoever you pin as the best in their game and the most dominant in their sport and historically on the Mount Rushmore. You don't get that from Serena. And I think largely is because that sport is a international sport with more of the great players coming abroad than this one American, two American, Serena and Venus. And then for the guy side, you don't even know who the hell to pick.
Right, it's a sport for me. I think it's the sport that I think she's very relevant, but the sport isn't so much.
I feel like she has reached the dominant level in her field that Tiger did in his prime, but I feel like she's not getting the Tiger love that he was getting in his height.
Well, you got
Tiger was arguably the largest figure in sports, and a sport that I think is, DJ, you can agree with me or disagree with me. In terms of relevance for the average person, golf, tennis, outside of those two names, nobody cared. You know what I mean? Before those guys. So, whereas though, I feel like what Tiger did, and he made golf the thing. I mean, even like we talked about before, DJ, I've been to your house in the golf when Tiger was at his prime.
Right. I watch it.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, is that golf wasn't golf until Tiger arrived, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. tennis has been and will be tennis before Serena and after Serena.
I agree.
You know, the kind of, I'm not going to say you haven't seen transcendent things that you've seen from Serena, because you have, because she's still chasing the record, right? So there have been great female players. And when I did watch tennis back in the day, you know, I would watch Martina Navratilova and them go at it. I mean, those were days when you had rivalries. And I think she may be suffering maybe from the Floyd Mayweather effect as well as that. And not by her choice, but because there's no competition, is that you don't have she doesn't have the matches besides with her sister, but there are no epic battles that you can hang this hat on. I think that's just default. That's not her fault.
But
that's
what part of that is her who decides whether somebody is just dominating versus other people aren't good? Like, why do we just assume because, say, Steffi Graf had this rivalry with so-and-so and they split it down the middle? Why, if Steffi Graf was dominant, I don't understand why sport. It is just because we don't have, like, somebody decides that one person is just dominant and the other person just didn't have anybody to play.
To me, that's just sport. There has to be the positive and the negative. There has to be the yin and the yang. And in sport, we expect that. And when we don't have it, then it doesn't seem like competition. And that's just the way it is. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. I mean, you get great football teams, you know, when the USC was on their run, USC got sass. Well, they're paying guys. They got all the best guys. Same thing.
While you're in that, go ahead before we get into the NFL. I'll hand it over to you, TJ. And then DJ, you can follow up right after that. Something that stuck out to you over this weekend, college football?
Something not that stuck out during the week. I think a couple things. I was a little surprised by TCU's performance. Definitely not what you would expect from the number two team in the country. You were thinking they were going to come out there and really blow the doors off. The third thing, and this is just something, is that this is probably first and last for Mack Brown in Texas. I think after watching that and then the next day he demotes the offensive coordinator, I think that's a dumpster fire at one of the historically greatest schools in college football. I like what Urban Meyer and Ohio State have. I think he's pushing all the right buttons right now. They look like a powerhouse. But beyond that, I think it was status quo. Beyond the number two team not looking like the number two team, I think it was status quo. And the only other thing is I can say is that Charlie Strong thing, because when he first got the job, you know, some people questioned it because of his background as far as not being an offensive guru, being a defensive guy, no nonsense guy. And maybe not a Texas guy. And I don't know what that means, but that's what that was said. And right now, coming out the gate, it didn't look good. And then you fire your offensive coordinator after week one. Not so much.
Slim?
Few things. Pac-12 didn't look too good this weekend.
Awful weekend for the Pac-12.
Bad weekend for the Pac-12.
Stanford Northwestern. I think I skipped that. That was huge. I mean, that Stanford was projected by some to win it all. So
yeah, Stanford put up 6 points against Northwestern. That's
horrible.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Who else? And the one I called, Arizona State losing to unranked Texas A&M.
Yep, we called that one.
The SEC, ain't no joke.
SEC looks good.
What do you guys think of Virginia Tech, Ohio State?
The other thing is, basically, we can just wait. We ain't got to waste our time going through the whole season watch Alabama and Ohio State play in the finals. I mean, them guys are loaded, man.
Yeah,
both of them.
Watching Alabama, you're looking at a historically powerhouse running game in Wisconsin, and they could not move the ball on the ground.
Yeah,
and that was like, wow. And then you look at those Alabama D linemen, you're going, damn, they look bigger than Chicago Bears. Jesus Christ. Like, it's just scary.
And
so
I got this running back, Henry, 6'3", 245.
He's bigger than our center. I mean, it's a different game. Some guys are playing football, and then some guys are playing football. So,
and I was real critical of Braxton Miller. I was wondering why he didn't transfer. I'm like,
ooh, B button.
Why wouldn't you transfer? Like, go be a quarterback somewhere.
No.
Win a Heisman, maybe, or something. But I guess he realized he's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. And that kid was electric out there, man.
I didn't know it was like that. I knew he could move for a quarterback.
Urban Meyer said.
No, he's always been that shifty. But it's easier when you got the ball in your hand. You can see. Like, but
as a runner, you're talking about running as a being a quarterback, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Urban Meyer said if he had to give one comparison, he'd give him Percy Harvin, and saying that says a lot.
Yeah.
So
I love Jones.
Oh, do you?
Yes, man.
Yeah,
he's huge. How big is that?
Man,
like 6'4", 240.
Man,
he's a man. He brings. The only thing you hope that it's, you know, the raw talents are there.
Yeah.
The arm strength is there, but for the backup quarterback that is younger than him to be named a captain says a little something to me if I'm a person that's saying I want Cordarrelle Jones to be my franchise player. If the backup sophomore guy is voted by teammates, I'm assuming that's how most captains are voted by teammates and then coaches. If the backup guys voted captain, I mean that.
And it says a lot too that, okay, we voted him captain, but this guy's our starter.
When I looked at him, that means he's just that much better.
Yeah. You know,
when I looked at him, what I saw, and it's a little bit slow, he's not as fast. He reminded me of Culpepper.
He does remind me a lot of Culpepper.
He's bigger. I think he's closer to 6'5".
Dante Culpepper.
He reminded me of Roethlisberger, just he's more shifty than I thought he was. I thought he was just hard to tackle him. He couldn't really run. He was shifting out there. I didn't think he was that shifty to be that big.
It is like Big Ben in terms of like the way they move. Because like, I mean, it's not Shady McCoy, but right. It's like you're like, right. Wow, that big guy kind of moved a little bit out the way that's why Culpepper actually could move. Culpepper actually could run. He wasn't just a big guy.
And he had a cannon.
And he definitely had a cannon.
Yeah. I like that comparison, but I also say, man, is that Urban, you know. Some of those throws were great throws, and some of those throws were, easy.
And
throws.
I like Barrett too, though. That's the thing. The team is just
crazy.
They're loaded, man.
Talking about dudes that you couldn't tell me wasn't going to be. I'll let you go, Slim. But just random thought while you mentioned it, I knew Culpepper was going to be.
Oh, I have one. I have another.
I thought Culpepper was going to be the dude for a while. He was like that dude could throw the ball. Like it's
towards the knee though, man. Yeah. That knee. But another big surprise. Stopped.
I mean, he was terrible
from another new coach who comes from a no nonsense kind of. You know, whatever program was supposed to bring this approach was Penn State. I mean,
Temple hasn't beat them since
1941. Right. Not only did they beat them, they beat the snot out of them. I mean, the kid Hackenberg, who they're saying is supposed to be the number one pick next year, quarterback, he sacked 10 times.
Yeah.
Directly on the hot seat, Strong, and that guy, and the coach from Vanderbilt that's at Penn State right now. Yeah. They better write those ships quick, or it could be a midseason and interim.
And another thing out of Ohio State is they didn't give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott that much.
He touched it once for 80.
Yeah,
so that,
right.
They
right.
probably got the old average up right around 15 yards a carry. So,
yeah. Ohio State is definitely loaded. That's
it's scary.
Again, and I told you that's why a lot of people always ask me why I'm not a huge college football fan, and that's the reason is because you just got – a team like Ohio State that has three quarterbacks better than some of these, than 90% of the colleges have one.
Most
you know what
all
I mean? And it's just like, and like you said, they got running backs who are bigger than other teams' centers. And it's just like, it's literally reminds me of like those countries where, you know, 95% of the wealth belongs to 2% of the people. Yeah. Like, that's how I feel college football is. And that's why it's hard for me to get into.
It is, but then there's always the element of that these are 19, 17, 20. Year olds, and you never know how they're going to feel when they show up to a game on Saturday.
There's a level of unpredictability for one game, not for a season.
But see, in college football, a game could be your season. One game can clip your ass for the rest of the year. So
yeah, if you're the top team, but that bottom team, we got like there's no Goliath winning.
No, you're certainly not winning. Appalachian State, maybe Michigan early on.
Right.
But they won't finish the year at number two to play Alabama.
Exactly. That's just not going to happen.
I agree. That's just not going to happen.
We'll switch into boxing, and I told you guys. I mean, not that you guys disagree. Did you expect it to be this bad? The draw for Floyd's quote unquote last fight.
I don't know how bad it is. I haven't heard anything.
It's 2,100.
TJ was just saying it wasn't sold out.
There's 2,100 seats available.
Okay.
Floyd Mayweather then goes on and says that he feels like the number two ranked boxer in the world is Manny Pacquiao. I mean, it's like
there was the numbers came out yesterday, Slim. I'm trying to find it. A1 won't, but it was like they had an article. It was on. We won't even talk about what you do pre-show.
Wait, we won't go into pre-show.
Let me just tell you what A1's pre-show consists of. He rode his bike. No, he rode my bike. He sat over there aging. And he watched TV. Did nothing. Did absolutely nothing.
With his laptop on his lap, looking at him like, "Hey, should we be getting ready?"
Yeah, he's doing absolutely nothing.
He's like, "You know we're natural."
That's his pre. That's his pre. Right. That's his pre-game regimen. It was the numbers came out, and it was, I want to say, damn near 50% of the tickets are still available.
2,100 seats are available.
The prices are a fifth, mm-hmm. of his last fight, which obviously skewed because of that. But still, they're saying that I think there was 15 tickets that were bought. No, less than 15 tickets that were bought for more than $1,500.
Yeah.
So that's tough. Right now, let me give you this. You can go online at the hotel, and for $1,000, get a 2-night stay and 2 tickets to the fight for $1,000. Right. 2 tickets to the fight and 2-night stay at a hotel.
You couldn't even watch the fight for $1,000 at the lobby of a hotel to Manny Pacquiao. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, I don't know.
This
would know
this
better
one hurts,
than me.
Man.
Has there been the you said there has been the 24 or whatever they call it now,
all access. Yeah,
that
yeah.
stuff has been coming on and
yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. See, I mean, I can see. I didn't think this fight would be sold out. I mean, on one hand, it's Floyd's last fight, which is what he's selling it as.
I don't think anybody's buying that.
But then they know he picked a fighter that wasn't the best fighter that he could pick.
That dude's lost 3 of his last 5 fights.
Yeah, but he's good though. I'm like Berto. Like I used to really think Berto was going to really make noise. And then watching the All Access, I learned some stuff that I didn't know about. You know, some of the losses he took. One of his losses he took with his shoulder when they showed it. Because I was out of the country when the fight was going on. His shoulder was gone for that fight. He still almost won and ended up losing that. And his shoulder still wasn't right. And, I mean, I heard he was juicing a little bit.
I'm about to say, he popped for juicing.
But probably trying to get his shoulder right is why he was probably doing that. But early on, I thought Berto was really that dude. And he got a new trainer. And you know how All Access do. It looked like trainer, they hype it up. But he's always had the power. He's always had the speed. But I mean, losing them last few fights.
1% of you that thinks he's gonna win that fight.
It's not. I wouldn't say there's not 1% of me.
Would you say 20?
Because
I don't say it's 1%.
I don't think he's gonna win. But I do.
Not gonna win. You don't even think he has a shot, do you?
I do. He has a shot.
You think so?
He has speed and power. He has a shot. He's got to be a smart fighter. He just wasn't
a
smart
shot, like a puncher shot, like he might catch him, or like a shot to actually go out there.
Like a bolt of light, and he'll come into the stadium and hit his glove and hit Mayweather in the jaw.
Like,
and it'll electrocute
him. I don't know who Floyd has fought with his speed and power. Manny Pacquiao
had a hurt shoulder too.
Pacquiao wasn't aggressive in the fight. Alvarez don't have the speed. If Alvarez had a little bit of more speed, that fight would have been different. Alvarez looked really slow that fight.
Yeah, because
he has
Floyd
the
made him look
That's
slow.
The hardest puncher Floyd ever fought is Alvarez, but he ain't got the speed.
Do you think this is so? It sounds like you're almost saying this is legit.
He's trying to get people over to his house to watch it.
Yeah,
he's selling us to come to his house, man.
Is that money? You see this hat on your head?
But I don't know. You know, All Access kind of gets you because at first,
they're amazing at their job.
Early on, I was like, man. Like, back in the day, I'm like, man, Floyd can't see Berto, man. Berto's too fast. He's too strong. He's too young. And then he started losing, and I'm like, man, Berto done, man. Then when I seen, like, really what really happened, and, you know, now it looked like he's more focused. When you switch a trainer up, and, you know, now his shoulder is healthy. I don't think he's going to win, but I'm saying I wouldn't count it out. Like, a guy with that speed and that power. You know, Floyd and I used to fight these kind of guys, really.
Orange and white cat with black stripes. It's still a tiger. it's still a tiger.
Yeah. You watch 24/7, they would sell Theodore Houston versus Mike Tyson. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, they'll be like, Theodore Houston's never lost.
Yeah,
and they'd have me
drinking Coors Light like.
But he's never lost.
Yeah. But
he's
never won.
Been knocked out. And, I mean, they'll sell it. They sell it. And they show you the people training. And the guys are training from sun up to sundown. And this is the fight that they've been waiting for their whole entire life.
It's a reason why there's 2,000 plus seats. And that's because there were way too many other fighters out there that he could have picked for number 50.
Right.
And that's
49
just
is 49.
I mean, 49.
But don't you guys think, as boxing aficionados, and again, I know you guys love the sport regardless, don't you think this hurts, like, big time?
Yeah. I mean, listen, he comes through this fight. It doesn't sell out. It doesn't It doesn't create the great pay-per-view numbers. So then what is the bidding war for the next guy at the table? What does the war say? I mean, what is, if you're the next promoter, if you're Manny Pacquiao, and you go, all right, look what just happened here. Mm-hmm. Look what just happened here.
Right.
You went out and fought one of the top, what do you say, maybe Berto's top six in the division, wherever he is, and you couldn't even sell out the damn arena.
So I feel like the next guy in the line, when he comes, whatever Floyd does this number, when the next guy comes, you can't ask for that because Floyd just, you know, Floyd did 50, and you have to start the bidding down. And it's like you've completely dropped the bar all the way back down. After you just took the bar to a whole nother level to fight before. You
still got a few more days.
That's 21,000 tickets in 2 days.
I was at work the other day, and I walked by the sign. I said, oh, is that this Saturday? Like, didn't even know. Had no idea. I was like, oh. Didn't even know nothing about it. Like that's gonna be I don't know. I'm just interested in it. And I think that the boxing world kind of hinges on Floyd. You know what I mean? And they need him. He's the biggest name in the sport by a mile.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I mean, will there be fights after that? Yeah, sure there will be. And there'll be races after Usain Bolt finishes. And that doesn't mean anybody cares. Like it's just that's what it is.
You know, if he's building the crescendo moment for the, you know, Pacquiao Mayweather 2, which he would have to be doing, I mean, you're looking at, if you made $500 million that fight, the second one on a night where you can break, you know, an all-time record, you would have to think that would be.
You think the market's still there?
Yeah.
You think so?
It would be a tune-up fight for Pacquiao.
Pacquiao 2?
Yeah.
Same numbers?
Bigger. No. It'll be bigger.
I don't know.
Because
I don't know.
This will be the one that breaks the record.
I don't think it. I mean, they can sell that, but I don't think it'll be bigger just based off the performance last fight. But they're going to sell it like, you know, Manny wasn't hurt. Himself. Manny was hurt. If Manny come back and fight somebody else,
look real good
before the Floyd fight, they can really sell it. I don't know if he's going to do that to get the numbers
again. Actually, borderline would be in Floyd's best interest to not look so good right here. Manny fight somebody, look really good, you know what I mean, and then sell it as, oh, Floyd might be slipping and Manny might be on the right side.
Right.
And then you sell it that way.
Right.
Because if Floyd runs through this dude and Manny struggles in his next fight,
right.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
A1, bring up those. Anybody want to take any bold predictions off the board before the season starts? I'm gonna back away from the Cam Newton MVP, and it's not even necessarily because of Cam Newton as much as it is about the Kelvin Benjamin. I really liked Kelvin Benjamin. I didn't have him. Obviously, he's not in an elite tier of receivers, but I had him in that second group, at the end of that second group coming up, and I saw 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns for Kelvin Benjamin this year. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to be good. I mean, he had what did he do last year? He had some solid numbers last year.
He put up a grand, I think.
Yeah, he put up over 1,000 last year with
double-digit touchdowns. I know that.
Yeah, he was good, and I thought he was going to be another year with Cam Newton would have been good. Losing him, their receiving corps is terrible.
Yeah, you got Ted Ginn as your one.
As your one. I didn't even know he was still in the league.
I love Ted Ginn. Don't disrespect him like that.
Because he's an LSU guy.
No, he's Ohio State. He's Ohio State.
Right.
I don't
like Ted Ginn.
I've always liked Ted Ginn. His speed is just.
Yeah. I remember that game against Ohio State and Florida, and he scored. He brought back the opening kick.
Yep.
And then I think it was the only point that Ohio State scored.
Yeah, it got ugly. Yeah. But no, I got nothing.
I love Troy Smith too. I just love him and Troy Smith back at Ohio State.
Guy too.
From Maryland?
No, from Ohio State.
Ohio State quarterback.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking Troy Smith. Troy Smith, he was a Heisman winner, never even got a shot too.
Yeah, I know.
He was here for a second in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and he was also on the 49ers, I believe.
Yeah, he was.
But anyway, I'll take my Cam Newton one off the board. A1, you got them up? Of course, you're terrible. What you got? I'm taking my Cam Newton one off.
I'm
the
sticking
board.
With my Reds.
The MVP quarterback doesn't need receiver. The receiver needs him.
It sounds good. I mean, it's a. No, I still have. I have no problem with the Eli throwing more than Peyton, and it's because mine is a combination of two people. Terrell Pryor has not even played since I said that. Like that dude hasn't even practiced one single time.
I think
since I said that, not even
fourth,
one.
But he made the team though.
Yeah, he's fourth on the depth chart. You might want to adjust that.
I'm gonna stick with it because I believe in his talent.
Okay,
to be honest with you, and I'm gonna stick with that one. I was definitely not expecting him to not even practice one single time since then.
And neither were the coaches, hence why he's fourth on the depth chart.
I'm gonna stick with that. I can tell you, TJ, Jameis Winston ain't leading the Bucks to the playoffs.
You don't know that. You don't know that for sure.
And I can definitely tell you, RG3 ain't leading the Redskins to anything.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's RG. It's about the Redskins. That prediction was more about the Redskins than it was RG3.
You said it. I'm just saying.
So if the Redskins still make the playoffs, which I think they're going to rally, circle the wagons behind Kirk Cousins.
You don't believe that. You can't.
Maybe I don't, but for my pick's sake, I'm riding with it. Okay. And you know what? If it comes out to be true, guess what's going to happen? All kind of betting, sports editing guys are going to call here for endorsements. They're going to want to sign me. And then you're going to have to up your ante here.
And then DJ with the Patriots will miss the playoffs.
Yep, he might want
to. And RG3 is back to his rookie form.
He did, but he did. No, no.
I didn't say they'll miss the playoffs.
You did say that.
No, he qualified that. He
definitely said that. And you said the Bills.
I said the Bills will win a division. And you said I didn't say they'll miss the playoffs.
No, he did. He did. But you qualify that under the pretenses
that Tom misses four games. That's why I say the Bills will.
Did
I say they'll miss the playoffs?
Yes, you did.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then you said that's predicated on you did say it was predicated on the Brady.
You guys got two that are off the table already. I'm still alive.
No question.
No, you said RG3. Your thing was not. You said RG3 will lead.
If the Redskins make the playoffs, that's the deal.
That's not the.
Even before RG3 got injured, I said once he came out and said he's the best quarterback in the league, I said he's done.
Right.
I said you can take mine right off because my whole thing about him was predicated on him being humble. And being quiet in the
media.
Humbled.
He's been humbled. I don't know if he's humble, but he's certainly been humbled.
Both. Yeah, both. Both. But then he got back cocky again. A1, he was done.
As it stands, all mine are still up and running. At least at 50% optimal 50% running percentages here.
Okay. Let's get into the AFC. Let's just go ahead and start with there.
Let's rock.
Get these win totals. Says Cam, just reading this thing update here. Cam Chancellor is expected to sit out week one.
Man, they was talking about us trading for him, man. I was getting excited for a minute.
I felt like that was nothing, though. I felt like that was just predicated. Like, I was reading it, but when I was reading the things, it didn't say there were no sources that were tied to either team or the agent. So it was just like, I think it was speculation.
I hear Cam Chancellor, New York Giants.
Cam will sit out. I mean, if you.
Just like I heard Pierre might play this week, and then I heard he might. Not play the season.
$223,000 is a whole lot of money to be leaving on the table.
Yes, sir.
Over some silly pride.
You got 3 years left on your deal.
Yeah, like it's not even. I'm not really sure what his leg to stand on is right here. Like you just got a contract 2 years ago.
He may show up at the locker room Saturday morning. Like, you know what, guys?
I was playing.
I was just joking. Who can afford to lose $250,000 every week?
Which just makes it even more surprising. You're
crying
that,
for money.
Yeah, well, you're crying for money.
It's just crazy
money,
that Revis is the only person who's allowed to do that. Like, he just gets a new contract every year.
Yeah, well, when you're the best rated player in your position and not like the 16th or 17th best rated player in your position, it's a big difference.
A new contract every single year.
Oh, yeah.
With more signing bonus. Like, he just gets a new team, a new contract every year. Like, Super Bowl, still getting a new team. You know,
right.
Is this a good fit for you? Absolutely a great fit. Need more money and a new team. Thank you. You know, like that's what you do. You talk about for hire. That is no, that's a hired gun. Let's go with the AFC. We'll start with the AFC East.
Sure.
We'll start with the AFC East.
Say the teams and go with the win.
Yeah, I'm freestyling here.
Okay.
Right, yeah, we'll start with the Buffalo Bills, DJ's Super Bowl favorites. With Tyrod Taylor.
I said, because we were forced to pick bold predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So
my man said forced.
We were forced to pick bold
like there was a gun to his head, right?
I said forced.
Okay. So
that sounded like a shot.
I say Buffalo Bills win the division. If Tom Brady missed his four games, I still think Buffalo Bills will go 10-6.
You like Tyrod Taylor? What does anybody have to say about Tyrod Taylor?
I think all their quarterbacks look good in preseason. Tyrod Taylor look great, and I love Rex. I love
EJ
Manuel
from that.
He played good preseason also.
He did.
All of them played good.
Okay, go ahead.
For me, for the Buffalo Bills, I can't trust Tyrod Taylor. I can't trust EJ Manuel. I don't think I can trust that defense and Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
And that's always been good for about 6 or 7 wins a year. I'll give them 6-10. I'll take the low number.
And you said 10, DJ?
So I said 10.
I got reverse.
Yeah, you got 10 and 6.
They got defense. They got running backs. They got, you know, receivers. I like them.
Still got to have somebody to throw to those guys.
Yeah. I'm I'm going to go closer to TJ and say seven. Give me 7 wins. And I really, borderline, would not be surprised at all if they go 4-12.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, the Tyrone Taylor, and I, the whole musical quarterback things is just not a good look for me. Because it's like, how, after, if they go 0-3, then you start wondering what EJ Manuel can do. Then he goes 0-3. What can Matt Castle do?
But
like,
I don't think it's musical quarterbacks. I picked their quarterback. I didn't.
It wasn't. No, but I feel like if they get off to a losing record, it will not be long before people are calling for EJ Manuel.
Well, like, Matt Castle was signed back. Yeah, he's going to be the backup.
Him,
yeah.
Whichever one it does. I mean, the point is, I don't think that Tyrod Taylor is out there and they're saying, hey, man, if this guy goes 1-9, we're just rocking with him.
Yeah, I'm not with that.
Well, if you got a defense like that, then, I mean, if your quarterback is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you're looking at a Super Bowl team. So, I mean, you can't have it
Which
all.
Which is the same scenario that Rex Ryan had in New York this whole time he was there in the Jets.
Six,
you know
seven,
what I mean?
8 wins.
It was, that's what he was doing. He would just have a defense, and it's almost like he signs up. Like, he just has no interest in getting offensive players. You know what I mean? Never.
But, I mean, he went out and got Shady McCoy, Percy Harvin. He got Watkins. Coming off a great rookie year.
The thing is, I like Watkins. Percy Harvin, good weapon. I mean, and Shady McCoy, absolutely. Yeah. A good look. So, I mean,
don't know why they cut Fred Jackson, but hey, I mean,
I don't know. I have to believe that was a favor to him.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would make sense to me, is that he thought there was better opportunities for him, and they owed him that. I don't know, because I agree with you. It doesn't make sense to cut Fred Jackson. Yeah. He's definitely a solid backup running back. Miami Dolphins.
See, I like this whole division this year. Really,
I like this whole division has been getting a lot of press.
Yeah,
and a lot
I like
of high
them though. They all made moves, man. Miami went out and made some good moves.
I'm giving Miami 10 wins.
I'll give them 9. I like him too. I think that division is going to be good.
You like? Are we some Tannehill fans over here?
No, I just don't think Tannehill's that bad. He's not bad. Mm-hmm. He's a top 15 quarterback to me in the NFL.
He's not horrible.
He's not in the bottom. He's not in the bottom.
Say, top 15 makes you a bottom 15. I mean, it's the same.
No, he's not. You know, he's right there in the middle of the pack as a QB.
Yeah, I can agree.
That's
can
enough.
With that.
And that's enough with the receivers that they have around him, and then that defense to give him 10 wins.
The receivers.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry. I mean, everybody's expecting a lot from
Devontae
Parker.
Jarvis is a really good receiver.
I mean, Devontae Parker.
Because he went to LSU.
Yeah. And he's good.
Everybody went to LSU.
Devontae Parker, Jennings. I mean, it's a decent bunch there.
I see Lamar Miller. I've always liked Lamar Miller. Just can't stay healthy.
Yeah. And defensively, they're going to be off the chain.
Sue.
Yeah.
Sue was huge.
Sue, Cameron Wake. I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot there in that cupboard over there. So I'll take 10 wins.
I'll go 8.
And they got the NFC East as their
I wouldn't call that a plus.
I mean, you get to play, you know, the
be respectful.
Giants.
Yeah, that's good. Giants. That's always a win. I'll give them 8. What did you say, DJ?
9.
8, 9, and 10?
I said 10. Yeah. 10. I say 10.
I said 9.
You said 9. So yeah. I said 8. DJ said 9. TJ said 10. New England Patriots.
12-4 again.
I see big things. I'll top that. 13.
11 wins for them.
Is that for you? Is there a reason?
I don't know. I mean, there's really no reason. I mean, they lost Brandon Browner. They lost Browner, and they lost Revis. That's no big. That's no small thing. And they don't have their receivers.
And they don't have Vince Wilfork.
And they don't have Vince Wilfork. You know what I mean? They lost a lot on defense.
Still say 12 wins because now they got something to prove.
They always feel like they got something to prove.
Yeah, now they do. And now you just added it. So I'll take 12.
Yeah.
I see a lot of chip on
shoulders. They still appealing this now. Mm-hmm. The NFL is still appealing the Tom Brady thing. But
I'm saying 12.
But they lost a lot on defense. Those three Pro Bowlers.
You're all right. But somehow, in some way,
they are the definition of always being greater.
The big wheels keep on turning.
Greater than the sum of their parts, like always. Because every time you look up, I'm like, this receiving corps is garbage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got LeGarrette Blount as their opening day starting running back, who, for all intents and purposes, was a third string running back on every team.
LeGarrette Blount's a really good running back.
I don't understand why he's been so. If he was to get cut by tomorrow, there's no team that would have him starting.
Because that's how they do with running backs. But LeGarrette Blount, when he gets on the team, he gets the ball, he runs. Like, no problem.
We shipped him out 3 years ago for no reason I don't understand.
Yeah, after he went 4,000.
Yeah.
Then he got cut by the next team.
Well, he got in trouble in Pittsburgh. Yeah. We know.
He was just sitting there not getting the ball at all.
See, but the Patriots, they just gonna they're gonna get 10 wins just off the strength of their name alone.
Absolutely. But
they don't necessarily got to get 12 or 13.
I'm saying
not
12.
not losing all they lost. And the, your whole division has got better.
That's always played in their favor in their division. The They've always division feasted on the division.
Because this next team we're gonna name. Trouble.
So I said 13. TJ said 12. Was that 13, 12, and then 11?
I said 11.
11. Yeah. The Jets.
3.
Circus. Full-fledged circus.
What do you need?
3. I'll match you. I was going to say 4, but I'll match you with the 3.
Yeah, I'll say 4. I want to say 5, really. It's not that bad. I think the Jets aren't that bad.
No, no, it's bad, dude.
It's bad. It is bad. It is bad.
It's bad.
I mean, they must be counting. Geno must be coming back sooner than we thought because they cut Flynn.
If you replace that Geno with Jesus, yeah. they're bad, brother.
Yeah.
Jesus Smith could be coming out there right now. They are bad.
And Reeve is wanting to go back over there, right? That's just greed.
Money. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Cromartie looks old. He was out there getting smoked in the preseason.
I don't know. Cromartie got a pick 6 against us.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see. I wonder what Brandon Marshall was thinking.
What do you mean? He's got closer to do his radio show. I mean, to do Inside the NFL.
No, but I thought I was in L.A. Right?
No, Inside the NFL is out of New York.
Okay, because I heard that sit real well in your locker room when he's just flying back.
Just flying, and you go in there and talk about your teammates. Like, I had to say it. Somebody had to say it. Thanks, Brandon. Real good.
So we all agree.
Going to be throwing you next week.
So me and TJ go with 3, and Slim, real optimistic, with 4.
Yeah.
Okay. AFC North, moving on over to the NFC. AFC North. This is always such a tough division, man.
You know what? I'm looking at last year.